Exodus chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. So I titled this message, this short message here, The Armies Out of Egypt. God calling his armies out of Egypt. Father in heaven, we pray you bless us now. Help us to understand this text and how it applies to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Moses is made a god with a little g before Pharaoh, and Aaron is his prophet. And God does that. It's interesting because God uses Pharaoh's own depravity. He uses his own reprobate mind. Pharaoh would be a reprobate. God turned him over to a reprobate mind. And, you know, Pharaoh is that picture of the Antichrist, the ruler of the world that will come, that will rise up and will rule the world. And he will be a reprobate. He will be someone who will not be redeemed, will not repent. God gives him over to that, and that's who he is. Well, so God uses Pharaoh's own depravity, and he exalts Moses in the eyes of Pharaoh. So Moses ends up looking like a god to Pharaoh. Why is that? Why did God do that? Well, I believe God does that because Pharaoh worships false gods, and he worships those rulers and those gods of old of Egypt, Satan being the god of this world and everyone else. He worships those. So God makes Moses look as if he's a god to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh's going to pay attention when he sees Moses by the rod do all those miracles and all those other things. Pharaoh's going to look at those signs and he's going to say, wow, this guy's got power. He must be a god. But he's going to exalt himself above everything else Pharaoh is, and that's why, but God uses that same language, and that's what God does to people. He'll use their own depravity. He'll use their own wickedness against them, and it'll ensnare them. Eventually, they'll be destroyed by their own plots and their own wickedness. That's what God does with people like Pharaoh. Well, anyway, so God has an army that he's going to call, and that he does call out of Egypt here. He said that his armies are in Egypt, right? So the first thing that we notice here is what God does and how God uses Pharaoh's own depravity. God allows Aaron to speak to Pharaoh, but he says, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. So God multiplies his signs and wonders. God is going to do those things right before the world. Egypt is a picture of the world, and he's going to do those miracles. But one of the most amazing and important miracles that God does is calling a people out of Egypt, is calling a people out of the land of Egypt and calling an army, his armies, out of Egypt. So you'll notice it says, but Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies. God says he's got armies there. Now we know that there were 12 tribes of Israel that were there in Egypt. There were 600,000 foot soldiers that were there in Egypt. And God said, I'm going to call those 600,000 foot soldiers, not counting women and children, right? Which would add up to about 2 million people probably. He said, I'm going to call them out of Egypt. I have an army there in Egypt. God has an army in this world. He has armies in this world of people that he is calling out of Egypt, that he is saving by his grace, that he is calling them out of the land of Egypt. He is calling them away from the world. Egypt is a picture of the world. So God allows Aaron to speak to Pharaoh, and he says, listen, I'm doing this for a purpose because I have an army there in Egypt, and I'm going to call them out. I'm going to call them out of Egypt. I have an army in the world of men that are to be called forth, that will be called after my name, that are in Egypt. So if the earth, who knows what, you know, we don't know what armies God has. We have no idea what armies, where God calls his people from all over the world. People that he saves by his grace, that he brings out of the world, and he brings into the marvelous kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God does that. God is the one that delivers. God is the one that delivers and brings men out of the world and translates them into the kingdom of his dear son. That's the work that God does. God calls his men. He delivers. He calls his armies. He preaches. He calls his men to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel. But God is the one who actually calls his men. He uses his word. He uses his truth. He uses his preachers. But they are used to call men out of Egypt. But Jesus, but God said about his son in Matthew, he said, out of Egypt have I called my son. So that's a picture of the Son of God that was in Egypt, or that was in the world, that he called him out of the world. Now Jesus was obviously the Son of God. He was perfect and sinless. But men are not. Men are sinners, and they are in this world. But God is the one who is responsible for the results. You know, this world will wax worse and worse, but God will always have people that he will call. He will always have an army of Christians that he will call. He will always have a people after his name that he will call out of this world. The world will know that the Lord is God. Look what he says here. He says, he said that the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt. You know, the greatest miracle that proves the existence of God, that proves the existence that Jesus Christ is Lord, is the gospel. It is the greatest proof, because the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So the greatest miracle that is ever done, that is done daily, that is done constantly, is the miracle of a changed life, a transformed life before the whole world. Because here's an army of people in the world. Here's people from all walks of life everywhere. And God calls them out of the world. He saves them by his grace. He changes them. He makes them new creatures. He gives them a new life. He gives them a new family. He gives them a new army to war in. He gives them new likes and new loves and new directions and new understandings. And he opens up his book to them, and he teaches them, and he gives them the way of life. He gives it to them, right? And the world will know that our God does miracles when they see the miracle that he performs through his armies. When God saves a man, he pulls him from the world. When he pulls him, he changes his life, and all of Egypt knows. That's the picture that's here of the gospel. God is telling Moses, he's saying, I'm going to pull these armies out, and they're going to leave Egypt. And they're going to go through the desert, and they're going to eventually enter into the promised land. And you know what's going to happen? And those people are going to be a testimony to the Egyptians. Why? Because they're no longer slaves to this world. They're no longer slaves. They're no longer Pharaoh's slave. When you get saved by the grace of God, you are no longer Pharaoh's slave. You are no longer under the god of this world. You no longer have to serve the god of this world. You don't have to be a drunk. You don't have to be a dope addict. You don't have to be a murderer, a whoremonger, a liar. You're not subject to those sins any longer. They don't have dominion over you. They don't have control over you. And neither does the god of this world and his ways, because you've been delivered. You're no longer slaves in Egypt, but you're an army. You're a soldier in the army of the Lord. That's why we are to be militant and vigilant for the Lord's sake and for the gospel's sake, because we are armies called out of Egypt. That's who we are. We are soldiers that are called out of this world, and we're called into the marvelous kingdom of his dear son. We're called into that kingdom. So all of Egypt sees that. Isn't that true? Like, if your testimony, some of you are younger, so you don't know. My children here, you don't know. You've never been in the world like that. Yeah. You've never seen God take somebody out of the world who was a slave to sin and pull them in and save their soul and change them and make them a new creature so they're no longer subject. But you take the testimonies of our brethren at church. Those men can attest to you. They can say, I was in the world. I was of the world. I was a creature of sin and depravity and wickedness and controlled by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But then the Lord Jesus Christ showed me I was lost and dead in sins. He delivered me from the darkness of this world. Amen. And he translated me into the kingdom of his dear son. And he changed my life. And I'm no longer a slave in Egypt, but I'm a soldier in an army.
Amen.
In the army of the Lord. That's the difference. And that's what he's telling Moses here. That's the picture that we take of this. Yeah. Right? From a slave to what?
To a king.
Right? From a slave to a king. That's right. Because he has made us kings and priests to our God. Right? That's what the Bible says. He pulls him in. He changes his life. And all of Egypt will see it. Look what he says there. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. God says, I'm going to take my hand and I'm going to literally pull them out. You know, when you get saved by the grace of God, it is you and God alone. And God says, and he grabs you and he pulls you out of the kingdom of darkness into the light of the gospel. And he changes your life. And he makes you new. Right? So the world will know that he is God by the work that he performs through his children. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. He changes us. He makes us new creatures. He makes us different. He performs his work. When he pulls us out of Egypt, he changes us, our lives, and all of Egypt knows of the great wonder when God saves a man and changes him. He changes him right before them. Look what he did to Moses, how he transformed Moses' life. Moses had to run away from Egypt. He was a prince of Egypt. But he was made king in Jeshurun one day.
Yeah.
Right? Moses led an army of over 2 million people through the wilderness, through the deserts, all the way to the tip of the promised land. Right?
Amen.
Now, he didn't stay with the glory in Egypt as Joseph did, right? God kept Joseph there for a reason for the time. But he delivered those people out of Egypt into the promised land. And Moses went to the border, right? All the way there. Our allegiance change when we're saved. Our friends change. Our desires change. Our whole world changes before us. And all the Egyptians, all the world sees that and wonders. You ever seen that? That's what they say, that your friends that you used to have, the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. The friends I used to have, I don't have them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. You know, when God saves you, those Egyptians look at you and they're like, what happened? They see the wonder that is there and they wonder about it. Now, some of them absolutely resent it. Some of them absolutely resent that.
Yeah.
That you were saved. But I see those people that stay in Egypt. You know, there's people that I got saved 18 years ago and there's people that never got saved. I have family members that never got saved.
Yeah.
And their life is 18 years worse for the wear.
Yeah.
Their life is so depraved. They entered into more wickedness, more vileness, more sin. Some of them are dead. Some of them hung themselves and committed suicide. Some of those people that when I got saved that were around, some of them, their lives, one of them's a witch now. Back when I first got saved, one of them's a witch now. We saw her Facebook page.
Wow.
One of them hung themselves. One of them is so. I have family members that are so deep in sin and wickedness and hate and malice and anger and wrath and bitterness, and they dig deeper.
Yeah.
They're like Pharaoh. They look at those and they wonder at it, but they don't want anything to do with it. They don't really want to. They don't want to be saved. They don't want to be right with God. They don't want this man, Jesus Christ, to rule over them. They don't want that. Right? That's right. That's all they want. That's their desires. Right before their eyes, he does it. Salvation is the greatest miracle that will always take place until Jesus comes, right? It's the greatest miracle ever that God pulls. It's the greatest wonder that is ever there. The wonder of it all, right? We sing that song, "The Wonder of It All," that Jesus loves me. But you look at the wonder of it all when he changes your life and he makes you a new creature and he takes you out of the world.
Yeah.
And he makes you new. And people look at it and they wonder at it. They wonder, why do you follow that book? Why do you go to that church? Why do you live that life? Why do you do that? Right? Why? Why do you do that? It's because it's the miracle of salvation that God does in your heart, in your life. That's what it is. That's the miracle. That's the main miracle, is that of deliverance from the world and from the Antichrist spirit that takes place. That's what it is. That's the picture that we have here with Moses here, what God is telling Moses that he's going to do. He says, I'm going to take my armies out of Egypt. I'm going to take them out of Egypt. I'm going to pull my armies out, and they're going to come out, and there are armies there. So right now in this world, there are armies of people that are going to be saved by the grace of God, that God is going to pull them out. Yeah. And he's going to deliver them, and he's going to save them, and he's going to call them by his name, right? Because he promised that he would do that out of Egypt, right? Yep. All those armies. But see, God said he's going to lay his hand down. He said, with my hand, there's two things that God's going to do with his hand. It says, but Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel. So God says, with my hand, with the same hand, God does two things. One, he's going to destroy Egypt. Two, he's going to redeem his people and deliver them and call them out of Egypt. So at the same time, God's hand, when it comes down, it crushes and destroys one. It condemns them. It destroys them. It brings judgments down upon the other. He uses it to pull them out and to save them and to put them in his hand. See, that same hand, by their sin, will either condemn them to hell, or by that hand, they'll be delivered. God says he delivers by a mighty and stretched out arm. By his right arm, he delivers. That's the arm of strength. But these great judgments will show their wickedness. God showed the Israelites their wickedness. He showed them that they were wicked. Even the Israelites were wicked. That's why he allowed some of the non-lethal plagues to happen to them in the beginning. They weren't covered from some of those things in the beginning. Why? Because God was trying them and testing them. Later he would deliver. They wouldn't get the severe ones, would they? No, but the first couple they would go through. They would go through a little bit. They would have to go through a little bit of it. You know, they would see it anyway. They would see what was going on for the most part. But they were not. They had to be showed their own depravity and wickedness. They had to be showed how they needed God to deliver them. They needed a deliverer, just like you and I had to be showed that. You that have been saved by the grace of God, you had to be shown that you were lost and dead in sins, guilty before God, and needed to call out to Christ for salvation, to be born again. Yeah. God shows you that. But there's a judgment on those who stay in Egypt. God said he's going to set his hand on the land of Egypt by great judgments. That's coming, the end of the world. That's coming where God is going to judge this world and the God of this world, who Pharaoh is a picture of, and the Antichrist, who Pharaoh is a picture of. Pharaoh is a picture of that Antichrist, that false religion, that work salvation, that witchcraft, that Babylon, mystery the great, right? Mystery the great Babylon, the great mystery Babylon, right? It's there. That's the whore, right? God will stretch forth his hand upon Egypt, and they will die in their sins. You know, but there's a difference, because when God took his armies out of Egypt, they didn't have an easy time, did they?
No.
It wasn't all gravy and everything easy, was it, when they left for Egypt? No. When God called them out of Egypt, they had a tough time. And you know what? As a Christian, you're going to have a tough time. You're not going to have it easy.
Right.
The hardest thing you'll ever do is serve God in this world.
And one thing is, Pharaoh could have let them go and never would have had to go through all that.
Right, but he couldn't, because he was given over to his own reprobate mind.
True.
And that's why. But yeah, he could have let him go, but he wouldn't. God said he won't let him go, though. Right? Yeah. And learn this, that Satan doesn't let go of people without a fight.
Early your death.
He doesn't let go of them without a fight.
Amen.
And he won't, and though he can't take your soul, he's going to go after the Christian and try to afflict them and try to send his devils and his armies like Pharaoh, but they're all going to drown in the sea.
Yep.
They'll end up drowning.
That's right.
But you know what? They didn't have it easy. The Israelites, when they left and they had to go 40 years in the wilderness of testing and trials, right? They had to go that 40 years, but the only difference was is that God went with them. See, the world ends up in complete despair, and they end up giving up, and they end up dying in their sins. They drown in the sea like Pharaoh's armies. But God's people, though they suffer through afflictions, though they suffer great loss in this world, they have no eternal losses in that sense. But they suffer greatly, but God goes with them through all their sorrows, through all their pains, through all their sins, and he delivers them. He delivers them from hell. But the Christian life has its sorrows. And even though those armies were called out of Egypt, they weren't called to an easy life. God says his armies were in Egypt. What does that tell you? It tells you that you're going to war in this world. You're going to have a war. It is the hardest battle you will ever face is serving God in this wicked world. It is the greatest battle for a mother, for a father, for children. Doesn't matter who you are, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to have a war on your hands. That's what God was saying. Yeah, my people, which are called by my name, they're mine. I'm going to bring them, but they're an army. And they're going to have to fight. And you are going to fight your way through the desert. You're going to fight your way through the wilderness. You're going to fight your way through Canaan land, which is the Christian life. Canaan land is not heaven. The promised land is not heaven. The promised land is the Christian life. And it is a life of war. It is not heaven. Heaven is where the war is over. Right? But in this life, you'll have tribulation. But Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." And that's how we overcome even our faith. It is God's hand that plucks man out of Egypt. But also, nothing can pluck a man out of God's hand. See, that same hand that was that pulled you out of Egypt is the same hand that keeps you. We are kept by the power of God. We are saved by the power of God. We are kept by the power of God. We are preserved by the power of God. And no man can pluck you out of God's hand. Right? Safe and secure in God's hand. You know, he lays his hand to save and he lays his hand to condemn. With his saints, the army of the Lord, he delivers. But with the unrepentant, they will perish. But remember that this is a life of warfare. And it says here, "The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them. So did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh. So here we find they go in and they tell Pharaoh all what God says for them to do. And he ain't going to let go easy.
Nope.
And Satan doesn't let go easy either. Right?
Right.
Notice how all through the wilderness, the devil tempted them. Satan went after them. He used their flesh and their pride, and he went after them. He used the flesh. So there's always going to be that war in the army of the Lord. There's going to be a war with the flesh versus the spirit and the spirit versus the flesh. These two are contrary. And that's why the warfare is so hard in this life. But remember, it is God that calls his armies out, and they will be victorious. We've been promised victory. Right? We're promised that. We're promised that. Knowing that we've been delivered from the gospel, with the gospel. That's why he says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Father in heaven, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word. Help us remember we're an army, we're soldiers. Help us to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Help us not to be slack in our warfare, but help us to trust you by faith. Help us to know that it is Christ who delivers us. It is Christ who made the atonement for us. It is Christ who rose from the dead, was dead, was buried, and rose from the dead. It is Christ who gave his life for us. All that we have and are is hid in Christ.
Amen.
May Jesus Christ be praised today. May we not trust in this wicked flesh. May we not trust in our own selves. But may we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. May we look to that great captain of our salvation, our deliverer, who called us as armies out of Egypt. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.